by phone, or later in the week by catch-up. Welcome, a warm welcome to you all. Today's service is an all-age service, and we'll be thinking about such things as going back to school and other fresh starts that we might be making, whether it's going to college or university for the first time, or whether we're starting some training at work, or whether in retirement we're taking on new projects. A special welcome to Liz, who is playing for us. It's a delight to have you with us again, Liz, and to hear your music. Thank you. Tomorrow at 2:30 in the afternoon, there will be a service of thanksgiving for the late Bruce Rae here in Palmerston Place Church, to which you are warmly welcome. Our sincere condolences to Pat, Ginny, and Philippa, and all the family at this time. Many of us will have been shocked and saddened to hear the news that Joan Meikle died on Monday past. One of our most active elders, Joan led the service team and was often speaking at the front here with minutes for mission about many good causes, including the Samaritan's Purse shoebox appeal. Arrangements are yet to be made, and when they are, we will let you know. Joan is much missed, especially by her daughter Heather and son Gordon. We remember them and all who are bereaved at this time. The psalmist said, "Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning." Let us worship the God who gives us all a living hope in Jesus Christ, whom he has raised from the dead. We sing together some joyful, playful words that celebrate the work of God the Creator, who put the colors in the rainbow. Now we invite Clara and Elissa to bring to us our first Bible reading, which is Psalm 19. Thank you.
The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. They have no speech, they use no words, no sound is heard from them, yet their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the end of the world. In the heavens, God has pitched a tent for the sun. It's the bridegroom coming out of his chamber, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is deprived of its warmth. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. By them your servant is warned. In keeping them there is great reward. But who can discern their own errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression.
May these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer.
Thank you, Alyssa. Thank you, Clara. And thanks be to God for this reading from his word. Let us pray. God, who made the earth, what an amazing job you did. We marvel at the way you have designed the universe. On a clear night, the sky sparkles as if it were filled with diamonds. Stars, planets, and galaxies, the Milky Way and more shine above us, and we are filled with wonder. In the light of the day, we see the beauty of the earth, green meadows, blue skies, sun and wind, rainbows with many colors, all kinds of life, fish in the sea, birds of the air, creatures walking upon the land. And we are filled with wonder. All these you love, and we are surprised that you have time to care for any of us. Yet you do. Each one of us, you love with a love that is as wide as the ocean and as boundless as the universe. And this you came to show to us in Jesus, our friend and Savior. And we are filled with wonder. Thank you, God, for helping us see in Jesus what's important in life, what matters. Jesus shows us how to live and how to care, and what is more precious than the finest gold and sweeter than the sweetest honey. Sometimes we need to say sorry, O God, because we mixed up what matters with what doesn't. We wanted things that were only for ourselves. We gave up what was good for something less. Thank you, God, that when we say sorry to you, you forgive us and help us begin again. And we are filled with wonder. So with the help of your Holy Spirit, keep us joined with what is true. Help us to learn from Jesus about things that count, that we might love you and our neighbors as ourselves, and live to your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now we're invited to say together the Lord's Prayer. Sometimes we've been saying this a little bit more slowly than we're used to. So we're going to do a slow version again this morning as we say together the Lord's Prayer. Let us join together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We sing together, As the Deer Pants for the Water. And you'll recognize some of the words from Psalm 19 in this song. Now, I'm going to invite Mary and Clara and Alyssa to come join us out here. And I thought I might ask you, first of all, Mary, some questions about the drama. And I know that Clara and Alyssa were at the Liberator yesterday, and I thought I might ask you how you found that. Is that all okay? Fantastic. This has not been rehearsed. This is live drama that's happening here. So, Mary, we're in the midpoint of the 2 weeks of drama outreach supported by Palmerston Place Church. How's it been going so far?
Well, for anyone who was here, you will all agree it was excellent. The performances were first class. They were so professional, and they were moving as well. And we had good audiences, so we were very happy about that. I was quite sad seeing them leave this morning, I have to say. It's been a real privilege having them. They're a group of eight enthusiastic young Christian actors, and we really, really appreciated their time. So I enjoyed it. I think those of you here would have enjoyed it as well. But the other thing that went very well was the hospitality, for which I really thank the congregation, because your generous offers of accommodation and of cooking, which was much appreciated, that was really good.
Thank you very much. And before we let you off the hook, we've had salt mine with the Liberator. What do we have next week, and how are plans shaping up for that?
Okay. Next week, we have a Searchlight, which is a much smaller group of really 2 to 3 actors. So they will be performing a play called The Hiding Place. Ah. Really, it's back to The Hiding Place. So that's on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday evenings, and there is a matinee again on Saturday afternoon. There are 2 performances on the Thursday evening, actually, and it is much shorter than The Liberator. So that's happening next week. I would commend them as well.
Thank you very much, Mary. And Clara and Alyssa, I think you've had maybe 3 minutes' notice of this, and so lots of time to prepare, and thank you very much for taking part. How did you find The Liberator when you went along? You can come forward to the mic, or you can hold this, whichever you prefer. What was it like for you?
I think like the church is always trying to modernize quite a bit, and they managed to do that while keeping really true to the story and kind of highlighting the main points of Jesus' life in a really simplistic and like non-confusing way. And it just felt like really easy to understand for people who weren't Christians, but also another angle for people who are, and just another way to see it. And also, as Mari said, they're really professional, but they're also really nice. They come out at the end, they chat to everyone. They're just really open to the whole experience of the theater, yeah.
Thank you very much. Alyssa?
It was like, they had so much like physical drama in as well, so yeah. And that was all seamlessly done. There was like a cage that they were moving about, and they were jumping up onto platforms.
Yeah.
And there was lots of like multi-rolling, and it was all done really well.
Yeah, yeah. I was amazed when I went along to see the stage. At times it was a train, at times it was a boat, at times it was a temple. At times it was a house. It was all sorts of different things as we were taken through the story of Jesus. And it was very dramatic. And for me, I loved the lighting and the sound effects, which I thought were fantastic. The actors were good too, of course. Well, thank you very much for sharing with us your experience of drama sponsored here at Palmerston Place Church, and may I add my thanks to all who have supported and continue to support this drama outreach to the Festival Fringe from our church. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah.
Just add something, that last night it was quite a thrill to introduce the girls, and I said, come and meet Jesus.
Yeah, well, you could say that's what it's all about. Thank you very much. Well, one of the themes that we explore at this time of year is back to school with God. And some of us here, maybe more than we might suspect, will be going back to school, whether we're children or adults involved as students or as teachers. So we hope that going back to school or going to school for the first time will be a good experience. And I'm trying to adjust what we're saying for an older audience this morning, as it were. But of course, there are many ways in which we make fresh starts, maybe take on new projects. Maybe we have to do some a new program of training at work. Or maybe we're studying by distance learning, or we're studying at a college or a university. There's a slide I'd like you to have a wee look at. Every day's a school day. Have you ever heard anybody say that? I've heard people who have not been at school for years say that. Every day's a school day. What do you think that might mean? Every day is a school day. Any ideas? That would mean that even Saturdays and Sundays were school days as well. Gosh, what a thought. Every day is a school day. Anybody like to hazard a definition? Every day is a day for learning. Exactly. Yeah, and that's a wonderful way to look at life and to live each day, that there may be things in this day that we will learn that we didn't know the day before, and which will help us for the day we're living in today and the next day. So I wonder if you've ever seen this kind of symbol before. You can see them stuck to the sides of cars, and we call this an L plate. Yeah, indeed. So if people have an L plate on their car, what does that tell us about the driver? That they're learners, that's right. Pardon? Oh, they actually know the highway code, that's right, because they're reading it. Yes, indeed. And of course, when we see a learner driver, we all give them special care and we all exercise extra patience, isn't that right? some of us are maybe not yet driving, but we'll quite likely come to that in the time to come. Jesus was a teacher, and he had a special word for those he taught. And the special word he had for those he taught was learner, which is what the word disciple means. It means a learner. And everyone who follows Jesus is a learner. Every day is a school day with Jesus, for Jesus is always teaching us something new about what it means to follow him day by day and to be his disciple. And I suppose there's something wonderful there. I mean, when we're going into a new school or a new class, or we're starting a new course, maybe we're worried about many different things, whether we'll be able to do the work, or whether we'll be able to keep up with the course, or what will the other classmates be like that we're joining in with, and what will our teachers be like? And I guess there's something here that tells us that Jesus promised his learners that he would always be with them. So whatever our circumstances, whatever we are going into, beginning or continuing, we can know that Jesus, our teacher and guide, will always be beside us. We can also remember that our church family cares and prays for us as we learn new things. And we're all learning together. And we can share with one another the lessons that we learn from Jesus. That's part of what being the church is about, that we talk to one another about the new things we see God doing amongst us, that we engage in conversation about the discoveries we're making about our faith day by day, and share what it is Jesus is teaching us. Well, we're going to take a wee break there, and we're going to sing another song, which is about the disciples or the learners that Jesus invited to come along with him when Jesus saw the fishermen.
Thank you.
Our next Bible reading is read to us by Clara. Thank you.
The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy went and sold all that he had and bought that field.
Alyssa, before you go, got your name right this time. Would you like to read that again to us? Because it's a very short reading, just so that we can think on a wee bit more about the words. Thank you.
The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then, in his joy, went and sold all he had and bought that field.
Thank you very much. Well, I wonder, when you think of treasure, what do you think of? When you think of treasure, what do you think of? What was that, John?
Pieces of eight.
Pieces of eight, yes, right, okay. A story, maybe Treasure Island, and back to those days with a chest that's dug up full of gold coins inside. Any other ideas, thoughts about treasure, what treasure looks like? If we were to discover it, how would we know it was treasure? Maybe it would sparkle and glint in the sun. Perhaps it would have precious gems or stones. Perhaps it would maybe be like a goblet, or maybe it would be all sorts of twinkling gold. And we would think to ourselves, well, we've come across something very precious indeed. And before we talk a little bit more about the story Jesus told about the man who happened upon treasure hidden in the field, it's perhaps worth saying that at the time of this story, there were no banks on the high streets. Come to think of it, there aren't that many now. And some people kept their precious possessions in a safe place in their homes, perhaps under their mattresses, which is never a good idea, by the way. Many chose a secret location that only they knew. They dug a hole in the ground somewhere and they buried their valuables. With the passage of time, the location of these valuables got lost and nobody knew about the treasure at all. So from time to time, there were some surprises, some surprise discoveries as the soil shifted or people dug it over. And the rights to what was buried lay with the owner of the field, the owner of the ground. So if you owned a field or bought it, whatever was in it was legally yours. So Jesus told a whole series of stories, some of them very short, like the ones we're looking at today, some of them a bit longer. We call them parables because they are stories with another meaning. They're lovely stories, but they tell us also about God and about ourselves. Sometimes it's fun to try to use our imaginations to place ourselves in the different stories Jesus told, and we can then notice new layers of meaning, and they can speak to us in ways that perhaps have not spoken to us before. So I would like to invite you to take part in an exercise of the imagination. There will be little pauses for you to fill out the scene with what you imagine it might have been like. And I'm going to suggest that you might find it easier to imagine if you close your eyes. So let us begin. You are walking in a field. Can you see yourself do this? Picture the field, the sky, the surroundings. What kind of day is it? Can you feel the heat or the cold? of the air on your skin, and maybe the wind blowing in your hair. What's under your feet as you walk? Is the soil soft or firm? Do you walk over some tracks, perhaps, or through some puddles? Can you smell the earth and what's growing in it? Your eye is drawn by something unusual, something shining, sparkling, bright, but mostly it is hidden in the ground. You go up to the object and look at it more closely. You have found hidden treasure. You know at once that it's got to be worth a fortune. You take in the precious metals. Perhaps there are jewels. Maybe it's a cup or a goblet, a necklace or a bracelet or a crown. It's whatever you imagine. And you make up your mind that you want this treasure more than anything else in the world. You cover it up again and take note of exactly where it is to be found. You feel joy in your heart, and without delay, you set about adding up the money you have, selling what you do not need, so that with everything you've got, you can go and buy the field. You do that, and the field and the treasure is yours. And joy and happiness overflow in your heart. When you are ready, come away from your field. Come back to the present where you are in Palmerston Place Church, and where we are thinking about a story Jesus told. And let's just take a moment to breathe after all that excitement. Well, perhaps we might notice a couple of things about the story Jesus told. The man found treasure, but he wasn't even looking for it. He happened to find it. The Good News Bible makes that explicit. He stumbled across it and was surprised to make such a find. God is like this, Jesus says. In the middle of daily life, when we're maybe busy doing other things, suddenly we become aware God is at work. Wherever we are, whatever we may be doing, whether we're at school or at work or at play, whether we're retired, we can be surprised by the treasure that is God. We can be surprised by the treasure of God's love. Well, the finder was sure he would make the most of this surprise. He would make the most of the opportunity that has unexpectedly come his way. We might say he had an eye for the main chance. He saw clearly from the start just how important a find this was for him and for his life. And there was an urgency about it. He wasn't going to let this one slip away. Snoozing and losing was not an option. It was a no-brainer. He reaches out for this opportunity and resolves to put himself in a position from that time forward through which he can truly benefit from the treasure that was before him. It's the message of the gospel. The good news of Jesus, that now is the time to seek the Lord while he may be found, to call on him while he is near. Today is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow, not the days of the past. Now is the moment. Today is the day of salvation. Whatever has been, or whatever the future might hold, there is no moment like the present to reach out for the riches of God's love, which, and we may be surprised about it, which are there for us for the whole of the rest of our lives, inviting us to live in the light of God's bounty, of God's riches towards us. We're going to sing another song. It's called Seek Ye First the Kingdom of God. And if I'm right, we usually invite the men to sing the verse, each verse twice, and we invite the women to sing the Alleluia chorus. I did get that right. There we go. It's on the screens now. Shall we sing together, Seek Ye First the Kingdom of God? Thank you, Clara. And now we're going to ask Clara to come to read to us another very short story that Jesus told. And we'll maybe also ask if you could read this twice to us. Thank you.
Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it.
Thank you, Clara, and thanks be to God for this reading from his word. Well, in this story, we hear about a merchant who deals in expensive pearls. I'm sure you would imagine the one before us would be one of those. This is his trade. He's skilled at it. We know this because he can distinguish between fine pearls and the not so good, or even the fake pearls. One day, he finds a pearl of exceedingly great value. It is finer than all the rest by a long way. It is the most amazing peril he has ever seen. He decides it must be his. He must have it. He's not going to let this go. He works out if he can afford it. He can, but only if he sells other things that he has. Everything else, in fact. And then he will be able to buy this finest of pearls. So he does that. He says goodbye to all the other stuff and buys the pearl of great value. Just like the man who sold all that he had to buy the field where the treasure was. And now the pearl is his. Why did Jesus tell this story? Perhaps he was saying that to live life as a follower of his, it's so good, it's such a wonderful thing that you want to give it everything you've got. You want to give this following Jesus all that you have. It's a bit like when we have to learn new skills. We have to be focused and make time to learn the new skill. So to do that, we have to watch a little less TV, spend a little less time on the Nintendo, and make sure we've got the time to learn the new skill. We have to let go of the things that distract us and hold us back. Yeah, maybe these things are like some of those that I mentioned, or maybe too much time on a mobile phone, or maybe they're focusing on negative thoughts, like thinking badly about others or ourselves, or worrying. Or maybe we're holding on to what's always been. And that's a rare temptation, I would say, for the churches just now as we're contemplating what may be in the future through presbytery plans. There will be things we will have to let go in order to embrace the future. Maybe we simply want stuff that takes up too much of our energy and time, and we discover that those are things that are not worth it. There could be things that each of us are being called upon to let go in order to move forward with Jesus, in order to be able to give our all to the one who offers life in all its fullness, not only for us, but life to be shared, this fullness of life to be shared with our communities and indeed with our world. So Jesus recommends to his learners, to his disciples, to go all out for it. Give it all you've got, and you'll find the joy of God's love overflowing in your life. Like the man who had the treasure in the field, like the merchant who found the finest pearl of all. Jesus wasn't kidding anybody on. He said there would be tough times, but it's far better to live life and to meet the hard days with God by your side rather than trying to do it by yourself. Now, God is not hiding and waiting for us to discover how precious is his love. God is in plain sight, as it were. His mercy is there. As Jesus said of the kingdom of God, no one looks for it here or there. It is. It is among us. And we can sense that as we open our lives to Jesus. You will seek me and find me, the Lord says through the prophet Jeremiah. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. The wonder, the joy, the fulfillment, the treasure of Jesus' call to be one of his learners, to be his disciples, is before us. And we are invited to reach out for that treasure and to know the joy of following Jesus afresh and in new ways in our lives. Well, our next song is called He Came Down That We May Have Love. And you might recall that when we sang this before, which might have been some time ago, there were some actions to this. We get the chance to sing each verse twice, and the actions are like this. He came down, yeah, that we may have love. And hallelujah forevermore, we just go like that. It's a bit charismatic, but hey, it's fun. Shall we stand to sing, He Came Down That We May Have Love? Thank you. Please be seated. We bring to God our prayers for others and we dedicate our offering. Let us pray. Loving God, who has given us so much that is good by sending Jesus to be our teacher and our friend, help us to give you our love, our trust, and all that we are. Receive our gifts, we pray, that they may tell of your wonderful love in this world you have created. Today, good teacher Jesus, we pray for girls and boys and young people going back to school. We ask you to bless them. May each one know you are by their side. May they make good friendships and have the teachers and help they need to learn a lot. We pray for those going to school for the first time and for all starting new classes or courses. We remember those learning at work or in college and university or through projects they may have signed up for. And we pray for teachers and for classroom assistants, for lecturers, trainers, and educators. May you bless them that they may find fulfillment and renewed joy in enabling others to learn, discover new skills, and flourish. Teacher Jesus, We are glad to be your learners. You have asked us to share God's love with all people. And we would learn from you about how we do that. You have asked us to take special care of people in need. So we remember in our prayers today, people who are unwell at home or in hospital. People struggling because they don't have enough money to pay bills. People who are sad or bereaved. People who are homeless. Loving God, in some quiet moments, we ask you to be with the people who are in our hearts and in our minds as now we remember them in your presence. Gracious God, you go ahead of us into every day. Thank you, for you are with us in all of life's great adventure. You are with us when we meet challenges and when we enjoy happy times too. As some of us go back to school and all of us continue to learn from you, Lord Jesus, may there be peace and healing in our lives and in our world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And we sing a song now that I confess is a firm favorite of mine. It tells joyfully, with a joyful tune, the story of Jesus' life. I danced in the morning when the world was begun. May we go in peace and joy to love and serve the Lord. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and all those whom you love on earth and in heaven, this day and forevermore.